Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, hello everyone again. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. And it's been an absolute fabulous couple of weeks we've had. We've had some outstanding coaches, and I'll tell you, they don't get much better than the next one. He is an NBL Championship player in 1992 with the Magic. He is a two-time NBL Coach of the Year, a three-time NBL champion. He's coached in New Zealand and Brisbane Bullets, but of course also well known as an Australian Boomers coach and coached at the Olympics and World Championship. It is none other than the man himself, Andre Lemanis. And for our Bullets fans, they'll know it. We're running for cover.
Boom, 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 we're the Bullets. Boom, 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 from Brisbane down. Boom, 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 we're the Bullets. We're going to shoot you down.
G'day, Brad. G'day, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the program, and you can already
appreciate it. I'm a little apprehensive about where we're going, but anyway,
well, I want to jump in here first. I have no idea what all that music was about, but I'm just going to sell it out there. That was Body, and that's what he wanted, mate. He is from Adelaide, and we do apologise, Andre.
He's a wealth of information, Body, basketball knowledge right there.
Oh, no question. He's full of it, mate. No question.
Yeah. Full of something. Look, let's jump straight to the big question. The Lamar Patterson, is that happening? Is he? When we're finding out that he's been released by New Zealand and that he's coming up back to Brisbane, and you've let Orlando.
Don't
Johnson
believe everything you read on the internet, buddy. You should know that by now.
Oh no, I write a lot of it.
He's the one writing it.
that's not happening.
You know, I believe a lot of the stuff that you write, but I don't believe everything I read on the internet.
So you haven't released Orlando Johnson.
I believe everything you read on the internet.
Okay, so we can take from that you didn't use that $50,000 third prize to cover catering for Lamar's return.
Wow.
Andre, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you,
right from the start, hey?
Andre, I'm going to save you. Let's talk about the big show, the NBL Cup, and we loved it. Mate, congratulations. Let's be honest. You know, you guys' form was up and down moving into that, and, geez, you were a form team in that. Nathan Sobey, I've said it a number of times. I think when Matt Hodgson has come back into your team, what a revelation he's been. I know he's been with you for a while, but he really seems to just be so dynamic this year. Great import in Law. Please talk to me. You must be very happy with what happened at the Cup.
Yeah, I mean, there's many things that you've already addressed it there, and it depends how long we have on the podcast. But going back to everyone was interrupted, obviously, with COVID and the preseason campaigns. And as a result, our particular journey was that we didn't get our imports in until I think it was 3 weeks maybe before the season started, by the time they cleared quarantine and that sort of stuff. And then we got to play one preseason game with them. The other one was cancelled when we had the outbreak in Brisbane. And so we were scheduled to play Perth for a second game, weren't able to get that done. And in the first game against Perth, Hodgie, that's where he hurt his calf. So we played a total of 5 minutes together as a team. And so that was always just going to take some time, right, to figure out how we play, how do we integrate all the pieces, who are we offensively, who are we defensively, what are the rotations, who plays well with who, who's playing down the stretch. All that just naturally takes time. And so we're always going to have to figure that out during the start of the season, and just was going to take as long as it was going to take. And we sort of just found our way a little bit. We didn't have Hodgie for the first few games, and just addressing that, I think, well, I concur with what you're saying there. He's playing tremendously well, and there's nothing, no greater stat on that in games where he doesn't play, where 0-4.
Yeah.
So that suggests, that talks to the influence that he's having on our group right now. And I think he's just matured as well in terms of just his understanding of the game, how he impacts it best. He's getting less emotional with referee calls. He's doing a nice job of that. And just even the conversation around him coming off the bench and, this is how we see it playing out, and this is how it works best for our team. This is how it works well for you. And he was all into it, which was great. And he's come in and done a really nice job giving us that impact after sort of the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. The game starts to settle into a rhythm and he comes in, and it's nice being able to bring in that weapon. So just playing great. But the whole team's, again, we're just starting to find out a little bit who we are and how we play. And we've certainly found our offensive rhythm. We might need to get another stop or two. I hope they miss or something. I mean, it has been pleasing just to see that evolution. That some of the other stuff I like in the hub, I guess, was the fact that we're able to win close games, like down the stretch. I thought the last 5 minutes of the Melbourne game, the Adelaide game, the Perth game, those games we played well in the last 5 minutes, made good decisions, were able to get over the line. So that was pleasing.
Yeah, you had to be real thrilled with the way you knocked off Perth and Melbourne in reasonably quick succession. And Hodgie was very important in that. But the question, does he understand that he's still his own worst enemy sometimes with his fouling discipline? Like, at times he just gets fouls. I'm surprised you've still got all your hair.
Do you see me recently, buddy? No, it's something we continue to work on. And as right. I say, I think he has matured this year, certainly, to what we had last year, just in terms of his approach to the game, his calmness during the games. And I think he's putting his energy in the right places this year. And it's energy going the offensive glass and running the lanes and setting good screens. And so I think he's done a nice job of cleaning up. He used to get a lot of those sort of not be vertical in when he'd go and challenge shots, yes. And he got called for a lot of those. I think he's done a nice job cleaning that up, and some of his fouls are now coming just out of hard plays. I think the two in particular that you referenced in one of those games that he got, I think it was the New Zealand game, that he got smashing the offensive boards just trying to come up with extra possessions. And so if he's doing that, I think that's a good thing, and we just continue to work at it, and he'll continue to work at it. But I really like the way he's grown this year. It's been fun. That's part of the journey of a coach. You enjoy those. You enjoy going on that ride with your players.
Mate, I want to talk to you, and I think you might be selling yourself short there a little bit, because you've got some amazing young players that you just seem to be able to harness and change. And I talk Matt Hodgson, and I talk Magne from last year, who is obviously now not with you and playing overseas. Jason Kadeed-Drimmick's having some good minutes this year, but no one better than Sobey. I want to go into your mind as a coach, and I've always loved you as a coach and just the way you've done things. Explain to me, what are you saying to these guys day to day? Because Nathan Sobey, you just don't see a more comfortable basketballer at the moment. He just seems so happy.
Yeah, he is happy.
Yeah.
Good. Some of that has nothing to do with me, You need to speak to his wife and his daughter. I appreciate your very kind words there, Brad, and very humbling. But as you know, it's always part of a team. It's not one person who's responsible for creating an environment or setting a strategy or setting a path. And I'm very fortunate to have some fantastic help within the organisation and on the coaching staff. And CJ Bruton is as good as they get, and so he needs to take a lot of the credit, I guess, for that growth, in terms of he spent a lot of time with Nathan. One of the reasons Nathan chose to come to Brisbane was he wanted to learn from CJ. He knew that CJ was one of the best point guards to ever play in this country, and that's something that Nathan was trying to evolve in that space in terms of the point guard skills. And so he wanted to come and learn from CJ, and CJ has spent a lot of time with him, and CJ, he gets it. He sees the hole. He's very well rounded. He understands that you need to coach the person, not just the skills, and he does a really nice job of that. And I think one of the things I always say to young coaches is you need to be who you are, right? And you can't be somebody you're not. And so some coaches are screamers and yellers and passionate and spit coming out of the mouth when they're talking to their players. And
yeah, you're describing like yourself now. Yeah.
No, that's not who I am. Someone who I'd like to actually get to know the guys, connect with them. We give the players a lot of input here as well, and try to have them part of the journey, so to speak, rather than always just telling them what to do. We try to work with them so that they have input into the growth and the process and the plan and where are they going and what are they trying to achieve and how can we help them achieve it. And I think Sobes this year has really shown the benefit, I guess, of that approach. It suits some players. It doesn't suit other players. Yeah, he's, you know, he's really settled at home, and I think Jason Kidd spoke to it well after a after one of our in one of our press conferences when asked about Sobes. He said, you know, he's got a young daughter now, and when he goes home, she doesn't care whether he's won or he's lost.
That's
You know, just started to get really settled in that space, which has enabled him to come and play with a clear mind and understand that perhaps basketball isn't the only thing that there is in life in terms of importance. So, and he's always had the skill set. He's, again, this is where I think CJ's done a really nice job of just helping him slow down a little bit so he's able to process what he's seeing and make the correct decisions. So, yeah, it's been pleasing. Again, really nice to see him have that growth. And as I said before, that's the part of the joy of coaching, seeing those players grow and evolve.
That said, do you think it helped that he got left out of the Boomer squad because for Tokyo? Because he's, but to me, he looks like he's playing with a point to prove every time he walks on the floor, and he's doing it. He's succeeding. He's certainly making a point that to not be in that group is a bit ridiculous. Even if it doesn't train, it's, you know, there's some people there that he should be way ahead of.
So I get asked that a lot, Boddy, I must admit.
I'm sorry. Got well asked once more.
The first thing is always, you know, certainly I'm not going to throw stones from the outside. I know I've had that job, and I know how easy it is for people to throw stones. You just don't know what's going on in the selection meetings and what they talked about and sort of the shape of the team and all those things that they're going for and youth and whatever. You just don't know. And so I'm sure those decisions are always made with good and valid reasons and intent. But in terms of what it's done for Sobes, has it added to, I guess, what we're seeing now? I'd suggest a little bit. He and I spoke to it when the squad was announced, and he handled it really well in terms of, he said, you know, well, there's nothing I can do about that. I can just focus on being the best player I can be, and that's what I'm going to do. And it is what it is. And he's done that. And whether he's got a little extra to prove when he goes out to the play now, that's something you'll need to ask him. But he certainly has been playing well since that team was announced.
Yeah,
announced.
Well, we're talking a bit about the Boomers. I want to ask you a question, and don't worry about your answer because nobody's listening. that bronze medal game.
I told my mum about it. That's okay. She'll be listening.
Oh, good. She'll be listening with my mum. That's fine. Then that's two.
That'll be two. Exactly.
Smegs, Mrs. Lemanis. Anyway, but back to the question. Like, is there, when you look back on the Rio Olympics and the bronze medal game with Spain, is there any time where you just think of those last two calls that went against us late in the game that cost us a medal? Is there a moment where you just want to scream every now and then, like it just gets you, oh, damn it. You know, we know it doesn't come down to the, you know, this or that, but those were really crucial decisions that went against us, that Patty Mills foul and the one before that. You know, is it sort of, when you look back on it, does it rankle still, or do you just, oh, well, it is what it is?
Only when people bring it up, buddy.
Well, I'm glad I got to take you there.
Yeah. No, I mean, of course, it's still, you know, there are times when you reflect on it for sure. And with a tinge of, anger's not the word, like, you know, sadness, a bit of, if I was more literate, I'd have a better word for it.
Frustration.
But, yeah, a little frustration, but even like it's just what could have been, you know? Yeah. It's like we had the chance, we were there. It's like it's every campaign when you reflect on it, like it's such a long journey to give yourself that opportunity. Like that's the thing. Like it's so much water under the bridge and so much effort and input put into it by so many people, and to get so close and like feel like you like realistically could have had it. It had one or two more things going your way, to not achieve that and then think about how far it is to get back there.
Yeah,
you know, that's the bit where you go, goodness me. Of course, there is that element of pride. I mean, in terms of being the first team to medal at a World Cup or Olympics in the men's game would have been a pretty cool achievement. So you think, you know, kind of one that got away.
Absolutely. Can I just go on further there? Are you sorry that you're not involved with this team anymore? because, you know, there is a good chance, obviously, with a medal coming and with the players there. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you always, you know, being with the national team is a great source of pride and honour, and they're a wonderful group of people to work with. And as you say, really, really talented, and we'll have a real opportunity to go and achieve that goal that I just spoke to there. And realistically, they can set themselves the goal of winning the gold medal, because it is achievable. It's not a dream. And we've proven that time and time again. In terms of, you know, where it's at, it's, I feel really comfortable about my contribution to it all. As people have often said, right, you know, the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And so I'd had my shot, and, you know, I'd taken the team down a certain path, and, you know, we got to where we got to, and twice we finished fourth, and it's like it's time for, it needs just a different approach, a different injection, and I'm really, really comfortable with that. And my whole goal all along, or my desire, has been for Australia to medal at one of those, you know, one of those world events, and hopefully the Tokyo Olympics is it. And if me stepping away and providing the path or providing the opening for somebody else to go and get that done, I'm like really, really comfortable with that, and really proud. Would be really proud that I played my part in it all.
All right, I got another one for you that's a little ticklish on the boomers front. I'm just on the boomers front. There's a question about FIBA, but don't worry, nobody from FIBA will be listening. They were going to, but they started to slip on their own decals, so they didn't actually get to it.
Ouch. Ouch.
Anyway, do you ever have a suspicion that those calls that went against us late in the Spanish game for the medal in Rio was the aftermath of FIBA sort of squaring up for what they perceived, that we didn't maybe put our best foot forward against Angola at the World Championship? Like, does that kind of conspiracy kind of feature in your mind at all, or at any time? I mean, or is it just me?
You're not the first one to speculate on that, buddy. Yep. You know, I have heard that from various sources in the past, and some of them perhaps within the Boomer squad itself. For me,
very tall, it's like, guy.
I don't get into that. Right. I think it's you got to be pretty skilled as a referee, and yes. I don't know, whatever sort of value sets you need to be able to have a game, manage a game to be that close and find a way. And, you know, I think it's a bit of a stretch.
Right. Okay. No, that's a fair point.
Let's continue on now. And that's, I think, enough for the boomers, because I do love it. But I want to talk about the Bullets. Obviously, are you back in Brisbane now? I would assume yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
Still in Melbourne.
We were held back because of the COVID outbreak in Brisbane.
Of course.
The uncertainty of what was going on in Sydney as well. So we were meant to fly back on Sunday, and the NBL has held us back, but we have found out now that we'll be travelling back today, as this show goes to air, basically,
right.
Afterwards.
Okay, so you're going back, and obviously you've got a home game, and we assume that that's going to go on Saturday against New Zealand, so you're getting prepared for that, I assume. Talk to me about the run home, because it's now back to home and away. You had a number of games at home, but still more to go, obviously. What's your focus now? Because it's a longer season, in a sense, in the year, but obviously we started late. Where do you focus now as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, where it always goes, I guess, and it's a boring answer, but on the day-to-day, of just trying to get better and improve as a basketball team. And I think one of the challenges now will be, like, I enjoyed the hub environment in terms of just the amount of games that you get to play in a short period of time. And I know the guys like playing games rather than practicing, but now going back to, you know, potentially having 5 or 6 days between games, it's keeping that energy in the group and not letting it drift and not letting the focus drift, or sort of just coming through and coming to the practice and just trying to get through the day, like ensuring that we're all have the mindset of getting better and improving, and that we can continue to grow as a group and be excited about continuing to grow as a team. And so the other thing that's interesting, I think, about the season versus the hub is just the weight of the lows sit with you for longer. You know, there's highs and lows in sport, as we know. But if you lose a game on Saturday and you don't play until the next Saturday, like, that week can become a very long week. Whereas in the hub, you lost on Saturday, you're playing again on Tuesday. Like, it's easy to just move on to the next one. Here we go. We've got to get prepared for the next one. Here we go. Yeah. You know, and I liked that about it. So
that's more like that international situation. It's more like that international situation, isn't it? That you had at World Cups, or where you don't have time to sort of worry about it. You've got to move 100%.
On. 100%. Yep. And I'd imagine, I haven't been in that space, but I imagine that's what the NBA is like for 82 games.
I
wish I could imagine it. Okay. Andre, each week we ask, we've had a few coaches on here, and we ask about some older players, newer players, and we just look for like a one word, one sentence answer on that person. So I'm going to start it off, and I'm going to ask you.
I'm not very good at one word answers, but anyway.
You're just like Body, don't worry. I'm going to try it anyway. Paul Hanare.
Competitor, great guy.
Okay, CJ Bruton, the player.
Oh, amazing, talented, inspirational, one of the best I've ever coached.
I'm going to go to 1992. He's actually a good mate of mine as well, but I know you guys got along well with him in the Magic. Bruce Bolden.
Brucey, yeah, he was, one word for Bruce.
I can be a couple, Andre. It's all right.
Yeah, you are allowed a sentence.
So for me, I always saw Bruce was interesting because that was my. I played in '91, but '92 I was still finding my way, and he was always for me a bit of an elder statesman and charming influence for someone who was one of the key guys of our group. I thought he was always really level-headed and just great to me, in terms of connecting with me. And giving me advice and trying to help me be better. Like, I have a lot of respect for Bruce.
What a great answer, because I know exactly what you mean, because that was me 95, 96 with him. I completely agree. That's exact. Just he takes you on as his understudy, and I think that's a perfect one.
Yeah, the two of you should go on a Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
you mean the Brad and Body podcast?
Yeah. Ben Simmons.
Obviously, very, very talented basketball player.
My next one, and this is the final one from me, Thomas Abercrombie.
So this is obviously more than one word or one sentence.
That's good. Go for it.
He's one of those ones that, for me, is kind of why you coach, right? He went to college, didn't have a great experience, came back, was about to quit basketball. And I, met with him, said, I've got a development spot for you here at the Breakers. Take a couple of days, figure out where you're at. And if you want to stay in hoops, it's yours. And a couple of days later, we met up again. And he was like, yeah, I think I want to do it. And I was like, you think you want to do it, or you know what you want to do? And he's like, no, I know I want to do it. And then just going on that journey with him is like, just seeing his growth, he went from someone who, you do drills where you need to make 7 out of 10 to move on, and he couldn't get past the first spot, to going 10 out of 10 and, looking at you in the eye and going, you got something a bit more challenging for me. Obviously, sensational athlete, but... great defensively, great on the glass, and has really evolved his offensive game. And again, one of the nicest people you'll meet. So he's one of my all-time favourites.
Great answer.
And this is the last one, but this is a little bit different. This is Kevin Braswell or Cedric Jackson.
Huh.
I knew you'd like that one.
That's a classic. Wow. Like Cedric, just like to get you through a season. If you got the last possession and you need to score the ball, you guys have the ball, you got to go with KB.
Okay. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer. Andre, I know that we could speak all day, but you've got to get a flight to Brisbane, mate, or you've got to get home. Mate, I just want to say thank you. Congratulations on an outstanding effort at the NBL Cup. Good luck for the rest of the season. It's fabulous to watch you and the Bullets team do what they're doing, and we really appreciate you joining us here on the Brad and Body podcast.
No worries, Brad. Body, thanks for having me on.
Well, that was great, Body. I'm really enjoying our times with the coaches. I really think it's great. And we've had some good feedback where people are wanting other coaches as well. So we're going to try and get around the league. So it was great. But let's get straight into it. Let's talk about the big show.
Well, it's a big show. Oh, it's a big bad show tonight.
Well, of course, it's over and we have a winner. And the Perth Wildcats, even though they looked disastrous in that first half against Adelaide, came back and won very well. But it didn't matter whether they won and lost that game. I picked Illawarra. I think you picked Melbourne. And of course, surprise, surprise, bloody Perth win it again. So congratulations to them.
Which again shows that we're stupid, because when Perth won it, you were not surprised. And when Perth won it, I was not surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we're not surprised, why the hell didn't we pick them?
Exactly.
That's just stupidity.
It's so ridiculous.
We apologise to our listeners for our folly, because as Perth had won it even before that last game. And as you say, they're 26 down in the first half, 21 down at half time, and you're sort of going, oh, well, doesn't matter. They've won the thing. But that's not Perth. You see, that's not Perth. They come out of that change room and go, no, we're not having this.
Yeah.
And go on a 17-0 tear, which is with 2 points in the previous half, a 19-0 tear, and they just turn around. Bryce Cotton is the best player we have of this era.
Well, let me just answer this quickly, get in there. What about Brandon Paul? He showed a bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the first decent import the 36ers have signed since Jerome Randall.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking Jerome Randall version one.
Yeah, good call.
Their imports have been very good.
Well, let's talk about the big show and have a little bit of a chat about that. And obviously, New Zealand got a win. I thought Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, with basically they were looking to bring the janitor in for that game against Melbourne because everyone was injured. But I thought Mitch Creek was great. The whole team were brilliant. And what a fantastic win. Bullets got a win. Illawarra, oh, the Kings, we'll come back to that, man. Jeez. Perth Wildcats, Southeast Melbourne again. Melbourne Phoenix. Yeah, they again backed up. And then the Kings, well, they played really well. That was a shock against Brisbane in a way.
I picked that. You
did say there was one that happens all the time. Yeah. Illawarra beating Melbourne.
Yeah, I thought Brisbane would have a flat. That's the one I didn't get. Because Yedei Barber being a late withdrawal. And let's remember, Chris Gordon is still on managed. He's still
that's
being
a double
integrated
loss for them. So. That's a double loss for them. And even when we spoke to Dean Vickerman last week, he said, you know, Bubba is a big thing for them. So, and then Phoenix backed it up with another win. And then we said Perth Wildcats winning against Adelaide. What did you see? But I do want to talk about the Phoenix because I've enjoyed them. And then I want to get your thoughts. But also, you know, Ryan Brockhoff hasn't even stepped out of first gear yet. And now Southeast Melbourne have rocked into fourth spot, 9-7. And now we start to get back to the season ladder. Thoughts, mate?
Yes, I expected them to win all three games that they had to play in the last round, Southeast Melbourne, and that would turn their season around and they'd be back in the fourth. They haven't done anything that I didn't expect. Mm. That said, when I realised that they went into that game against Melbourne United without Brokoff yet, without Adam Gibson, without Dane Pinot, and without Kiefer Sykes, and then losing Kendall Stevens, as you said, it's almost like they needed to activate the janitor. For them to win that game and the manner in which they won it, like they pretty much controlled the tempo from start to finish.
Remembering, then we're talking about Melbourne.
Yes.
They beat Melbourne.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that was just a phenomenal performance. Great leadership from Mitch Creek, Kyle Adnam. These guys all stepped up. And then come the last quarter, honestly, the refereeing changed dramatically. Now, I'm coming from a position where I'm not a supporter of the Phoenix or a supporter of United. I'm just watching the thing unbiased. And that officiating, that was like they were the three blind mice. That's the way it sort of went. They were blind to anything Phoenix was copping, and they were picking them up for a most amazing things. And so for that, even the last play that before overtime, when Mitch Creek drives and gets fouled, nothing, not a thing. So we go into overtime, United jump four clear, and I'm thinking, well, you know, this is disappointing after the effort that the Phoenix have put in. And suddenly TRT steps up.
Yeah.
RTR, yeah. I should say.
Yeah.
Terang steps up and bang, 6 points in the overtime.
He did that beautiful little layup underneath the hoop too. He was good, man. I'm enjoying watching them. I do think I sometimes they dribble the ball out of the dribble the air out of the ball a little bit too much sometimes. But I do like how they play that play at the top of the key where they throw the ball and do a handoff and it just gets movement, and I don't mind that. So we've obviously outgone. You were going to say something there?
I was going to say, Simon Mitchell's done a great job there. Yeah. Liafa, excuse me, he's their fourth choice guard because you've got Sykes, Adnam, Gibson, and then Liafa. And he's been performing really well. Just want to jump off them, though. Got to mention the shot by Tom Abercrombie.
That was
just unbelievable. Like the shot by Mirko Jerick before that to tie the game at 73 apiece between Cairns and New Zealand, who have this great rivalry of their own.
Nobody
else is really that interested in, but their rivalry is real. Well, it is, isn't it? It's like the Adelaide-Brisbane rivalry.
Hang on, who they cares? Have a rivalry?
Exactly. Sydney Mill, who cares? Like, there's a lot of rivalries that the rest of the world doesn't care about. But that just added to it when Ty Webster drives, a ball comes ricocheting. He's got to go back to the basket when he catches that. So it just jumps and shoots, swish. Gorgeous stuff. Love that. Give me a Rosen Rattler because we're getting deep in time.
Yeah, look, I've sort of enjoyed watching the Kings, and I think they're playing with heart. And I thought when they went down without Jarrell Martin, they did a good job in the cup to do as much as they can. I just am shocked and was a little bit disappointed the way Jarrell Martin came back in that first game. I just didn't understand. So you bring a player in, and this is against Illawarra where they ended up losing by 20, right? But you bring a player in who hasn't played for a long time. They start him, so you think, okay, he's healthy. And then the first play, they roll it into him, and he does a nice move. And then they really then he played like 12 minutes, and he was a focus of it. Then they did not play him again for the rest of the game. Now, mate, I don't understand this load management crap. You know what I mean? If you're in, you're in. If you're right, you're right. Now, as a coach, I don't – like, people can question me or what. If I can't play a player 25, 30, 35 minutes, 40 – I don't want him. Don't want him. Sit out for another couple of games. Yeah. Get some training on your belt. But to play a dynamic NBA player like him for 12 minutes –
quality player.
Yeah, and then sort of like he's the focus, and then sort of like, okay, well, we're just going to take him out of the team now, and now you guys start scoring. They scored 69 points for the game. I didn't agree with it. That's my rattler.
Okay, and a good one too.
Give me yours.
My Nodge Nasty is I was extremely disappointed. The NBL Cup, the big show. Big show. Perth Wildcats win it. And the presentation of the NBL Cup, the inaugural NBL Cup, is basically the commissioner, Jeremy Loliger, to the bat poles. He walks up with the cup and, you know, just sort of hands it over to him and take a few photographs, and that's it. That's that. There's no pomp and ceremony. There's nothing. There's no nothing. It's like, here's your trophy, bugger off back to Perth sort of thing. Almost. That's how it looked. It's like, we didn't really want you to win. I mean, if Melbourne United had won that, do you reckon there might have been a bit of a, you know, I don't know. I just thought that ending to it was bad. Now, having said that, I want to also say that the NBL has done a great job now, finally acknowledging the decal issue and recognising that FIBA what their particular protocols or what they find acceptable is not what we want. We want decals people don't slip over on.
Yeah, I agree with you. And to be fair to the office, because I know I speak to them regularly, they knew something. They wanted to do something, and they knew, you know, that it wasn't great, and they were working behind the scenes to do it. And it's finally glad that they came out. So I agree with that, and that is a good thing, mate. Very quickly before we finish, just give me a one-word answer, quick. Kings Melbourne Friday night. Who you got?
Melbourne.
Perth Cairns.
Perth.
I'm agreeing both of those. Phoenix, Adelaide.
Phoenix.
Oh, that's going to be tough, but I'm going Phoenix with it. Brisbane, New Zealand.
Ooh, Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm with you. Melbourne, Wollongong, Illawarra.
Where is that one?
Melbourne.
I think this time Melbourne.
Yeah, and they're off 3 losses in a row, by the way. Kings versus Cairns on Sunday. Got to be Kings.
Kings.
Yeah, Perth versus Adelaide on Monday in Perth.
Oh, Perth.
Cricket score. Mate, thank you, everyone. We wanted to say Andre Lamanis, thank you again for joining us. Boddy, you're a legend. BOTINAGY.com. Make sure you check out his website. He's a fantastic writer. And, mate, thanks for everything, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, look forward to it. Cheers.
Good on you. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Mate, you got to be happy now. you can finally stop whinging about this damn NBL show and you can start watching Vikings again.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I'm up to the season where Edge is in it. You know who Edge is? You know, from WWE, the wrestler?
What the hell are you talking about? Who's Edge? I don't watch WWE.
Adam Copeland is his name. No, he's great.
Is he any relation? Is he any relation to Lennart?
Lennart. No, they're definitely having different mothers.
Oh, you are just unbelievable. You're... See you. Oh, I'm going. See you later.